going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
All right, we're back. Day two of the draft tonight. The Bills, as you surely know by now, select Max Hairston from Kentucky, cornerback, and doing that, I mean, I guess you could say for them, it was not an eventful night. They sat still. Not a lot really was going on, period. But you had a couple trades there, 6-7 picks ahead of the Bills, but yeah. Otherwise there was just the Hunter trade, which was spectacular at the beginning. The Bills do the thing. They needed a cornerback. Now we know, needless to say, how they ranked Hairston versus Amos, others who right. were not picked.
Right. Yeah. So, sensible pick. And now we'll just wait and see what happens. My favorite thing about it is that I feel like I talked more about Amos late yesterday. I compiled a list, I think, during the break at 6:30. Mm-hmm. Trade up candidates. I had a handful of names, and then stay put candidates. And Amos and Hairston were the first two names there. And I thought about Amos largely because of he was a little taller, and there were comparisons to Tre'Davious White, and I'd seen him mocked to them often. I didn't really think about, and Hairston largely, if I saw him in mock drafts, was, unlike Amos, picked usually earlier. So I thought there'd be more likelihood of Amos being there. But anyway, I really like the speed factor. Like, I feel like the Bills have sort of taken, it feels like a little bit of a departure for them, because I don't know that this guy checks every box necessarily. Like, the tackling seems like it's a concern. I think it's a legitimate concern. He's a little light and is bounced off. I'm watching reels of highlights of him making some tackles and missing some tackles. I mean, I guess, a lot of guys are going to miss their share of tackles. They're going to be 100% on that. But I like that they prioritized getting someone fast. Because even though it's not on offense, I think overall this team has not been, for all their success, ever really a fast team on either side of the ball. So I like that they, I think it feels to me like they prioritize that with this pick over someone 3 inches bigger and a little heavier and maybe with a reputation for being a more sure tackler like Amos.
It gives us a chance to sit with a word that is fun to say all offseason, twitchy.
Yeah.
He's twitchy.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure is a word I ever have heard in any other context, but football players can be twitchy. So we got it. We got one of them. I think, you know, there was no trade. I wonder how close they even came. They might have, for a minute, been offered a trade down. But you had the Giants. The Giants acted quickly. They went to 25.
Right.
So that didn't drag on to the point where the Bills were a player for that. And then you had Kansas City and Philadelphia flip past the Bills, but I don't know. I don't know how close they came, whether there was anything they would have considered at 30. If there were, I mean, I'm going to say this, right? If there were, I'd probably do it. But, A, I don't know how much of a gap they would have had between Hairston and these other guys. There's no B in this case. It's just that you would have had Revell, too, in the early second round. You would have probably had a choice, depending on where the trade landed you, of one of these corners. There was no reason to ever consider trading up for one. And Grant and Nolan went so early.
So that was over. Right?
Even Sal's guy, Williams.
Yeah, yes, right.
They all went so early that there was not that either. They might have had designs on a move up for a corner, a move up for a defensive tackle, a move down with the Giants or something, and just maybe none of it really came close to happening.
It feels like that might have just gotten taken away from them if they were inclined to want to do it at all. And, yeah, I think I said a few times yesterday, talking to Sal and just you know, amongst ourselves here, that seemed to me very possible. And I'd stop short of saying it was likely. I mean, it happened already. But the guys that have the, you know, more than one club in the bag, so to speak, you know, big, you know, defensive tackles that can get up the field – I felt like the Eagles' performance in the Super Bowl, how they shut down Mahomes, was going to result in guys who can do that going sooner rather than later. And so, in Grant in particular, you've got someone who they might be betting on him being able to do both, because he's got the big body, but he's got really light feet and seems like there's maybe the potential for him to round into someone who can be that. And I thought teams would prioritize that. So, yeah, the Bills are sort of left with, as far as defensive tackle goes, you know, it's really just, I mean, there are still quick guys left, but they're not big. And so, really, you're left with 340-pound space eater guys. And you should be able to get a guy, if that is still something they consider to be a need. It is not likely to be an upfield presence of any kind, really, but that is still someone as a rotational piece that could help them. And something I think we agreed on I did not want them to spend a first-round asset on someone who wasn't more than just that, because it feels to me like Saturday even is full of guys that fit that profile. If you're looking for someone to play 40%, 30% of the snaps in Daquan Jones's place, you can find that somewhere later on. You don't have to pay a premium for it. The premium is what, you know, can I get a guy that can do both? And those guys, like we just said, I mean, Grant, I was stunned how early he went off the board. Like, I thought he was maybe a guy that could get to, you know, the region of the draft that we talked about yesterday as not, you know, unattainably like gettable trade spots. You know, Minnesota 24, Pittsburgh 21. Maybe you can swing that if he gets there. But, I mean, he was, what pick was he?
13.
13.
Miami.
Holy cow. Right. So he didn't really have a look at that at all.
Right. That's left unanswered, I think. Just how, maybe it was answered. I missed it. How close they might have been, you know, everything we talked about, comparing those two position groups, you know, having names for each, and as last night plays out, it's the corners that fell. That's not even really falling. It's just that we're there. Johnson, it was considered a fall.
Yeah, I mean, he's all the way out of the first round.
Amunwori wasn't drafted.
Right.
This, I think, is just a function of this particular draft and how interchangeable, if you will, picks seemed between like 10 and then the fringe of the first round into the second round. There are, I mean, I'm not even the most knowledgeable about it, but there are at least 10 names on the board right now that we talked about,
yeah,
you know, at different times.
And, we
not,
said,
and not just the running backs. We, I don't even, right, not even including right, running backs.
We thought that would happen, right? I mean, that there would be guys that got picked yesterday. There were a couple. The lineman from North Dakota, I don't think it was not a name that I ever really said myself. I'm sure I saw it in mock drafts somewhere. But
that'd be Gray Zabel?
Yeah. That's just not a name that I never said anyway in the run-up to this. And, you know, we do say a lot of names.
But he wasn't, I mean, he wasn't considered a reach either.
Right, right.
He just wasn't. He's an offensive lineman, and right, the Bills were
we
not
didn't spend any
one.
Time thinking about that, right. But that there would be names. You know, there were going to be guys left over here. And that, yeah, there are some notable ones. I mean, a lot of the time, it depends on who you talk to, but most of the time because I was crushing on Emin Wurry for months here on end, whenever he would come up, be like, yeah, you're probably not even going to really have a look at him. You know, even a trade up idea, he might be too far, like kind of where Grant went, like, you know, in the teens before the 20s, even a lot of the time that was how he was talked about. And he's tumbled all the way out. And maybe teams don't trust that he can play a position. You know, I mean, there are Lewis Cine comes to mind. He was here with the Bills last year and working as a linebacker after being drafted in the first round out of Georgia as this sort of freaky athlete safety guy, and he's never really found a home in the league.
Nope.
And I wonder if teams were scared off by even that comparison. But there was plenty of people who thought he would. You know, I heard Greg Cosell again today on my way in on his usual Friday 2 o'clock spot with Steve and Chris on One Bills Live. So like, I still think he was the best safety in the draft. Can do everything you want to do. So, you know, differing opinions, but obviously the league saw something. I did read on him, and I'll close up shop on him for now at least, because he is still out there. Maybe the Bills could land him tonight. Who knows how far he'll fall. That his grades at PFF against all the good teams in the SEC were pretty bad. Like he got fat playing against, you know, the weaker links in the SEC. And maybe that's something that scared, you know, how's he playing against Alabama, right? How's he look against, you know, the powerhouse teams? And if it goes badly, that, you know, that's not a good sign for the NFL.
Well, I have to decide whether I want to care about on-field performance. I've got a guy who can lift and run really fast. It's a lot of names, but for the most part, this doesn't really mean anything. This is just like based on our conversations and my reflections on the last few months talking about the draft all the time. It's not so many names that when you get to 56, the Bills' first pick tonight, as it stands now, that any of those guys are still there probably. Who are they? Emin Wurry, my guy Luther Burden,
mm-hmm,
maybe, but maybe not. Mike Green, we had a caller earlier this week, maybe even yesterday, about trading up for Mike Green, and he had a mock draft that, and I looked at one where he went 15th, did not get picked. You're not in play for a corner now, probably, having drafted one, but there's Johnson, there's Amos, there's Revelle. I heard the name Nick Skirton enough times,
yep,
an edge rusher. Ezeraku was right, one. He was mocked the Bills numerous times.
Yep.
He wasn't drafted. Of course, all the Sanders, I mean, the quarterbacks, Sanders and Milrow, maybe they both go before the Bills pick, but they're not a candidate for them. And running backs and other receivers, you got a pile of them. Ends up just two running backs last night. I say just because there was just lots of talk about maybe Travion Henderson or someone else. I mean, two in the modern age here, two running backs in the first round is not a small number, but that's what we got. So Henderson lasted. Judkins also from Ohio State, and you've got that as well. There's a linebacker named Schwesinger from UCLA that right, we talked about for a minute. You know, probably, because it's like this, somebody from that list is on the board for the Bills at 56. But if you wanted to, you know, talk about moving up, trying to do that, you can. Because I think a lot of teams right now would feel like a player or two or five that they loved are available.
Yeah. And the Bills do have, I mean, I'm not eager for them to part with one of the, you know, they have an extra second. So the flexibility to move if they really wanted to, I think is there for them. You know, I don't know how they go about getting back into the third round without sacrificing a bunch of, like, you would just have a large gap in the draft if you packaged up enough stuff, if somebody would even be interested in taking all of that to get back in the third. But the extra second, you know, if they're crushing on one of these big guys or an edge guy or something that they see great value in, when it gets to, say, I mean, I don't know, it could start right away here, but in the 40s somewhere, maybe, I don't know how modest a move up would cost, you know, a 6 spots. It's not really that modest, I guess, when you get right down to it. Maybe that's in play tonight. But, yeah, I think if they sit where they are, I feel like, I mean, again, corner, you just said it. Corner is not something I'm going to be that interested in tonight, so I'm not really worried about how quickly they come off the board. I guess I might want to hope that they do go, because that will maybe push edge guys or receivers or safeties or whatever down to where the Bills are at 56. But it feels to me like if you've got edge guys that were fringe first rounders, boy, the chances of them making it through 24 picks or whatever you got to sift through to get to the Bills today, that feels like a long shot sitting here. I wonder how the Bills feel about it. I wonder how Brandon Bean feels about it. Like, I wonder if the wheels are turning over there about trying to find their way to, like, an Isaraku or somebody. Because I would right now want to bet against that guy in particular. Like, someone who is thought to be maybe a first-round edge player making it to 56 doesn't seem
realistic to me. I agree, and I could totally see the Bills wanting to get up for them. And I would include Green, I think, in the same context.
Sure.
You know, I could totally see them wanting to do that. Not having a third could make that challenging, because that's such a, for flexibility's sake, as I've said a lot, I think important to have, and they don't have their third round pick. Just the 2 seconds as of now for tonight, 56 and 62. Did you know who the Bills had picked before you watched Goodell announce it?
I did not. I went dark on that front, because I was seeing a lot of the picks most of the night. There was one account, I think it was a Fox reporter, that had picks. It seemed really early. Like, as soon as the pick was on the TV and they're in commercial, or, you know, I don't know, Goodell's riding around on a bicycle or whatever, you know, whatever all the other stuff that they were doing there was to entertain the apparently 200,000 people that stood up there to watch that. Okay. I'm not sneezing at it. The Bills want to host this thing. I don't know. pull in 200,000 people. It's amazing to me to stand out there and watch that event. But, yeah, I kind of didn't want to find out on Twitter, I guess, is the only way I can say it. I just thought, yeah, you know, I've made it this far. I'm awake. I'm just going to close up everything else and just watch the TV and wait for them to announce the pick. So that's how I found out.
I had a friend who was there with her husband, and they went in the stadium. You could go in the stadium, too, yep, and then back out. So I guess it's raining there today. She said she's not going to go tonight, but maybe tomorrow. So looked pretty great. I was on the ship-chasing stream brought on to talk about the Bills and, you know, celebrate the draft, I guess. And so they come on the clock. I'm looking at Twitter because I wanted to know before they did. You know, like, I'm there to analyze the pick, and I didn't want them to tell me who was going to be. This sort of a running thing I have with them.
I get that.
Where my Wi-Fi is slow, and I'm on with them during Bills games, like night games, and they'll know what happened. That game in Miami last year, I did this, and I was like 5 plays behind. It was just the worst. Mm. So I wanted to, you know, not be late. And the first thing I saw, I had 6S for 6 seconds from when I had refreshed, was Ray Davis last night.
Oh, okay.
Do you see what he did? So Ray Davis's tweet, this is like whether the pick was in or not. Nobody had it yet publicly. But he tweeted a string of eyeballs.
Okay.
And I went on the stream, I went, uh-oh. Because, you know, I'm having fun. I was having fun with the running back idea, mm-hmm, right? So then we had a fun conversation about, well, would Ray Davis know the pick before Adam Schefter or whoever? Like, would he be in the, you know, in the inner circle of this.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not if it's another running back, but if it's a player from his school, right?
Well, that is what came to fruition, I think. Yeah. Is I didn't. I wish I'd thought of that, because you know, after it went, one of my guys, Jacob, said, "Do we really think Ray Davis would be in on the conversations before?" Like, you know, no, probably. And if it were a running back pick, would that be Davis's reaction immediately? Like, just basically calling out the team or anything like that? You've already got Cook in his situation, so probably not. But that's what my reaction to it was. Like, oh, wow. Is this going to be Travion Henderson? Is this really happening, right? Cook is traded or something. Like, Davis know? What he would have known from the player, probably, that a Kentucky teammate of his was being drafted by the Bills. So that was exciting for a minute. Most of the night for me was watching that stream with NFL Network on, kind of going back and forth by volume. It's very tough. I said this yesterday. We know this. It's tough to enjoy it like you want to be able to with Twitter, because Twitter is going to be there first, and somebody is going to say the pick. Like Schefter and the like, they don't do it. They used to.
Right.
And then that we put a stop to that, so that doesn't happen. But Kostos, right, yesterday, we had him on, Nick Kostos, on Wednesday, and I commented how this is funny to me that this happens with him and me. His favorite draft bet was Loveland to be tight end one. And I've said many times that was mine, like 5-1 odds, and it was lower than that by Wednesday, but that was my – I didn't bet it. I didn't go – even if I'd gone to Pennsylvania, I would have been disappointed.
You wouldn't have been able to do it there.
You can't bet it there either.
You keep going to West Virginia, and now you're on vacation.
Classic bet. My betting life is having it but winning nothing. So he and Benjamin Solak, too, had Loveland, you know, tight end one tweets – way before that was announced, like several minutes before that was announced. And I never saw it. I went looking. I even tweeted on Nick's tweet. I went looking for, like, who said it so that they know, and couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. It's just tough to enjoy that aspect of the draft, which you really want to. I mean, that's really a fun way to enjoy the draft.
Yeah.
But you kind of always know, not often, not always by a long time, but Goodell is spoiled, basically, in the end, by Twitter. Nevertheless, it's a fun night.
Yeah.
There have been more fun draft nights.
Yeah.
The Hunter trade is spectacular.
That was incredible.
That was incredible.
I recognize that, you know, I think both things are true. I think Cleveland did a great job getting the haul they got. You know, we'll see about the player they picked. And I would understand a Cleveland fan being, you know, it's not a guard, right? I mean, a defensive tackle that penetrates, like that's picked fifth, that, you know, has some playmaking ability, is not the, you know, least sexy defensive pick or pick you can make. But you went from taking this one-of-a-kind unicorn dude to trading out of there to taking a lineman. There's a bit of a thud there. But for Jacksonville, I've been mostly sort of skeptical about them and their new coach. But, man, that dude on the field with Brian Thomas Jr. and that guy drawing up plays, I tweeted last night, like, I might be ready to take them seriously. Like that offense, I mean, I know they're going to have to figure out other stuff too, but man, that's a hell of a start with those two dudes running routes.
It's a great move. It's what makes one thing that makes the draft so great is we will have that to look back on forever. Like what happens with Travis Hunter and Mason Graham?
Yep.
And whatever Cleveland has an early pick tonight from this trade, the first next year. I mean, that's so much fun. Is to look back on these big draft trades and analyze them. And some of them are legendary, you know, just good and bad. Good in one direction and bad in the other. Often that's what happens. We talked about Watkins yesterday. We will talk about Watkins every year because of the magnitude of that and just how it can either make your franchise or wreck it. And, you know, often it's in between. But that's a brave move by the Browns. That is a brave move because Hunter is so, so cool. All right, next, Sam Paniatovich from Bet Sweats. We'll get his take on round one. Mix in a little playoff talk, too, NHL, NBA. Sal Capaccio joins us at 4, and then again right before we turn over coverage for round two. He'll join us. The plan is around 6:30. We might have Max Hairston on live from the stadium, his press conference, which is scheduled right now anyway for around 5 o'clock. Thanks for listening. Another great day ahead. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Sammy P. next on WGR.